Very good morning to you, Namibia. A very good morning to you, my dear listener. It's a Monday morning. It's a Monday morning, the 29th of the month of June. It's almost coming to the end. It has been very slow. It has been very, 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 June has been very, very, very slow. So, but almost get there. We almost get there. And it's just another day, one more day until we come to the end of June. Actually, past half of the year already. So, yeah. So, but how was your weekend? So many things to do over the weekend. I hope you rested enough and ready to face the new week. That will be also a new month that will definitely face starting this new week. So, yep, I hope you had a good weekend. I hope you had a very good weekend, and you are ready to face the new week. So, good morning, and welcome to Eagle FM, and this is your number one talk radio station. And thanks for joining us, and thanks for choosing Eagle FM to be in your company at this point in time. So my name is Mike Oshoveli. This is Unpacking the Day. Your daily dose of what is really going on in terms of business news, economic news, and political news. And every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers that are making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect of those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines with me and get to the heart of the stories. So, and if you're just joining us, good morning. Our time, it's about 5 minutes past the hour of 8. And, as usually, we start with our segment on this day in Africa. And unfortunately, today we don't have some significant event on this day. So, all right. So what are we going to start? We're going to start with our thought for the day, the 29th of June. So here's something to think about today. There's a saying that if every fool wore a crown, we would all be kings. If every fool wore a crown, we would all be kings. And what that really means is that if leadership, success, or authority was only about appearance, or titles or status, then everyone would actually qualify. So everyone would look important. Everyone would seem like they are in charge, but we all know life, it doesn't work that way. Now, a crown does not make a king. A crown doesn't make a king. Responsibility does. Judgment does. You know, character does. So the real question for today is simple. Are we building a society where people just look powerful on the outside? Or one where people actually carry the responsibility that comes with power? So are we building a society where people just look powerful on the outside, or one where people actually carry the responsibility that comes with power? Because in the end, not everyone who looks like a king is one. So, and not every fool wearing a crown is truly in charge of anything meaningful. That's our thought for today. So thanks for joining me. All right. So our time, 7 minutes past the hour of 8. And we're coming to you live, and we're coming to you from the Ondangwa studio. And thanks for joining us. So wherever you are listening us from, so please stay connected. You please stay connected with Eagle FM anytime, anywhere, because you could actually listen, because you can continue to listen to Eagle FM either from the studio or from our website. If you are now in the car and you're going to your office, you may listen to our to the website from Eagle FM website, or you may download the Eagle FM app, so which you can download through Google Play or Play Store. So, and as I always said, that's something good to have. That is something really, really, really good to have, because it comes in handy with so many things. I mean, you won't miss anything. You won't miss anything. You stay connected wherever you are, anytime, anywhere in the world, on planet, and in the universe. All right. So, all right. So what do we, what can we look forward? What is on our menu this morning? What is on our menu this morning? So we have local businesses, local Namibian businesses are condemning what they see as their systemic exclusion from government contracts. So they see state-owned enterprises increasingly secure public tenders. So that's a story that we're going to look at and analyze and unpack. The other story that we're going to look at is that Namibia's economy was worth 70.9 billion during the first 3 months of 2026, according to the Namibian Statistics Agency latest figure. So should we celebrate, or there is more we need to understand? I think so. There's more we need to understand. So we're going to follow that story as well and unpack that. So stay tuned. We're going to come back. And remember, your participation on the show will also be part of the show, of course. So we'll be back in a sec.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back. And good morning. Good morning if you're just joining us and you are tuned into Unpacking the Day. You are tuned into Unpacking the Day. And I'm your host, Big Mike. So here's what's making headlines this morning. Private businesses in Namibia say they are slowly being pushed out of government businesses. They argue that contract they once had a fair chance of competing for are now increasingly going to state-owned enterprises instead. So the government say this approach can help deliver a project faster, making better use of the public institutions and keep more value within the state. But many in the private sector see it differently. They see it differently. They want that if more contracts are handed directly to state-owned companies, private businesses could lose work and they could lose jobs. Their job could disappear, and also competition could suffer. So the recent debate over direct appointment of state-owned enterprises, such as the road contractor company, have brought this concern into the spotlight. So what is really happening here? All right, what is really happening here? So what is really happening here is the government trying to save taxpayers' money by using its own companies, or is it creating a system where a handful of state-owned enterprises end up getting the biggest opportunities while private businesses are left on the sidelines? So that's the question we are unpacking this morning. So now, before we go any further, let me paint a little picture for you, because now, let me, so that you get into what we're talking about. So imagine you have spent, let's say you have spent the last 15 years building a catering business from the ground. Okay, we're going to come back after this.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is EagleFMNAM.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know, you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
I love that you stay in the best country in the world. Huh? You stay in the best country in the world. All right, welcome. And a very good morning if you're just joining us. This is Eagle FM. And you're tuning to Unpacking the Day. So we're unpacking a story, business people. It's about the business communities condemning what actually the government is trying to do, based on state-owned enterprises getting more contracts, or are handed directly. So the contract of the government are handed directly to the state-owned companies, and private business think that they are losing work, they are losing job, and also the competition is actually suffering. So now, I just wanted to give you a little bit of a picture, just to put you in the framework of what this is all about. So now, think about yourself. Say, for example, you spent your last 15 years building a catering business from maybe from the ground. You work from the ground building up this catering business. You earn people's trust. You know the schools, you know the communities, and you know how to get meals, to the children. So you know how to get meals to the children who rely on them, on your business. Now, then one day, you hear that the government is considering giving the entire national school feeding program to a state-owned institution. Not through any open tender, so there wouldn't be any open tender, not through a competitive process where business like yours can submit bids based on experience and quality, because you have been doing this for 15 years. And based on maybe your experience, based on the quality of your business and the prices, just hand it over directly. Eh? It just hand it over directly. So, my friend, that's not just made up example. I'm not just making up this example. This is what at the center of debate happening right now. Okay? So this is what at the center of debate happening right now as we speak. The government is considering whether Namibia Training Authority should take over the school feeding program. Now, the Ministry of Education, Innovation, Youth, Sport, Art, you know, the longest one, has said nothing, has said no final decision has been made yet. No final decision has been made, and that consultation is still underway. But the fact is that this option is even being discussed. The fact that this option is even being discussed has already raised alarm among many private business. So, which fear they could actually lose one of the country's biggest public contract. So, and here's the bigger issues. Here is the bigger issue. Now, many business leaders say this is not just about school feeding, okay? They believe it's part of a growing trend. They see a trend that is growing where more government work is actually being channeled to state-owned enterprises instead of being open up for competitive bidding. So that's the biggest concern. That's the biggest issue. So whether that is a better way now to deliver public service or a move that could weaken competition is exactly what's up for debate. So, and that's why so many voices in the private sector are now speaking out and saying enough is enough. All right. So what is the story? Okay. What is the story so far? So before we get into the debate, okay, let's look at the facts. Let's look at the fact, not rumors, not speculation. These are real decisions that have already been made, real contracts that have changed hands, and real concern being raised by business. Okay? Let's look at those facts. Now, let's start with social grant. That's the first one. So for years, as you know, Namibian company called Epupa Investment Technology handled the distribution of social grant across the country. So it served, you know, hundreds of thousands of beneficiaries and built a business around actually delivering that service. You know, as an organization, as an institution, or as a company, you build your business around delivering, you know, that service. Now, last year, the government decided to transfer that responsibility to NAMPOST, a state-owned company. So the government's argument was straightforward. So the move would save taxpayer about 58 million each year. That's what the government said. Officials said the NAMPOST already have, the officials, they said, well, NAMPOST have already branches across the country, making it cheaper, you know, and more efficient, according to the officials, that to deliver grant while also promoting financial inclusion. So, on the face value, on the surface, That sounds like a sensible business decision, isn't it? Okay? It sounds like a very sensible business decision, but private business is another side of the story. The private side, they see another side of the story. They point out that Epupa wasn't just a, they were not just a processing payment. They were not just processing payment. You know, the company employed Namibians, okay, invested in systems and trained staff and built years of experience. So there's so much was the company was doing, okay? So they ask when a contract like that moves overnight, just disappeared. What happened to this job? What happened to those jobs? What happened to those skills? What happened to that investment that goes into that? Because remember, you invested in system, you trained staff, and over time you build this experience. What happened to those investment? Those are the questions that continue to be debated. Now, that's on that issue. And then I said, let me give you facts. Then there's the public service employment, employee medical aid scheme, better known as CMAS. Okay? Now, cabinet has approved plans for the Social Security Commission to take over the administration of medical aid scheme, so which is worth billions of Namibian dollars. Supporters now of that idea believe bringing the scheme under public institution could actually improve oversight and accountability. But you have also critics. Critics also say, you know, however, question whether the commission has the capacity. So does the commission have the capacity? Does the commission have the systems to be able to administer that? And do they have also the experience to manage such a large and complex operation successfully? So that's what the business are asking. Okay? So let's give you one more example. The construction sector has also raised concern. So project that would traditionally have gone through open competition have, in some cases, been awarded directly now to state-owned companies, such as, we know, the road contractor company. So the road contractor company and also August 26 construction. So government has argued that this approach is allowed under the law and can speed up the delivery of urgent infrastructure. So private construction firms, however, now argue that it reduces competition, which is very true. It reduces competition. It limits opportunity for local businesses to compete on an equal term. So there is another example, okay? There's another example. The healthcare. So President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah and the health ministry have made it clear that they want to reduce unnecessary middlemen. You remember, especially in the procurement of medicine. Now, their argument is that inflated markups waste public money, which is true, and also delayed delivery of essential services. So, of course, most people would agree that government should get value for every taxpayer dollar it spends. I think everybody would agree with that. But this is where the debate begins, okay? This is where now the debate begins. When does cutting waste become cutting out the private sector? That's the question. When does cutting waste becomes cutting out, you know, cutting out the private sector? So, and where should the balance be between saving public money and ensuring private business still have a fair chance to compete? So if now all the contracts are actually are handed over to the state-owned companies. So where should be the balance between now saving public money and ensuring the private business still have a fair chance to compete? So those are questions at the heart of this discussion, and they are becoming increasingly difficult to ignore. So let's look at what local businesses are actually saying. So when we come back, we're looking at what are the local businesses are saying. So stay tuned.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Omutiha utekiro kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya eshiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisamwene. Anange shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seitha nina omayaguro nirandisoma yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konora heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oniyaji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back, and a very good morning to you if you're just joining us. So we're looking at the business, the local business leaders are complaining, let me put it that way, are condemning the government tendency or pattern that is emerging of awarding, you know, the government contract to state-owned companies without competition, you know, just handing them over the project or whatever or the contract. So what are the local businesses saying about all of this? So they are not keeping quiet. One thing for sure, they are not definitely keeping quiet. We have Namibia Local Business Association, NALOBA, saying giving government project directly to state-owned enterprises instead of putting them out to open tender is unfair. All right? Is unfair, and according to the association, it reduces competition and it also shut private businesses out of opportunities. So, and it concentrates public spending now in the hands of a few government-owned companies. Well, that makes sense. But NALOBA has raised an even bigger concern. NALOBA has raised an even bigger concern. The association's claim claims that some state-owned enterprises are not doing the work themselves. You know, instead, it alleged that after receiving government contract, they subcontract much of the work to foreign companies. You know, so now giving away now even work to foreign companies. And if that is happening, I think if that is happening, Nalobana argues, then it raises an important question. It raises an important question. If the goal is to save money, as the government would say, and support local development, is that goal really being achieved? Yeah? If these companies, subtract much of the work to foreign companies, so and leaving out Namibians' companies. So the question is then, because the whole idea is it's about saving money and support local development. Is that goal really being achieved? If that happens, so now if contract goes from government to state-owned company and then from the state-owned company to another contractor, think about that. Are taxpayers getting a more efficient service? Or are we simply actually adding another layer, you know? You're kind of like adding another layer between government and the company actually doing the work. Yeah? It's more like adding another layer. So, and these are questions that I think that deserve answers. These are questions that deserve answers. And the concern don't stop with Naloba. So it's not just Naloba that actually, raised this concern. Several business leaders have also spoken out publicly. One businessman wrote to the president, to President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, earlier this year, okay, warning that more and more public project appears. So more and more public projects appear to be moving towards state-owned enterprises and the statutory bodies. So now his argument was simple. His argument was that government spending should help grow local businesses. Eh? The government spending should help grow local business, should help create jobs, and strengthen the private sector. If state-owned companies want this contract, so they should also compete. Eh? They should also compete for them through the same tender process as everyone else. It shouldn't be handed over to them. Eh? They should compete like everyone else. So, and another business owner put it even more simple. So he said, Namibian business cannot remain small forever, because if they are not competing for these tenders, you will remain, you know. How would you grow? To grow, they need access to government contracts. Eh? That's why many companies remain SME. Much of the company we have here is SME. They can't grow because they have no access to the government contract. Eh? Those contracts allow companies to buy equipment, employ more people, and build the experience needed to compete on a bigger project. But if you don't get them, you will never grow to that point, to that level. Without those opportunities, many businesses struggle to expand. And when business don't grow, jobs don't grow either. It's as simple as that. When low private business don't grow, when business don't grow, jobs don't grow as well. Who would like to say it's a simple mathematics? Is it credit or who? You know, it's a simple mathematics. Eh? So that's simple. So that's basically the complaint. That's some of the complaint or concern that is being raised. They see there's a trend here. Eh? So yeah. Some also highlighted other challenges as well, and other challenges that many contractors also face, and those are late payment as well. So business are expected to keep paying salaries, suppliers, and other expenses while waiting for the government invoices to be settled. And some contractors say they have to wait for months to be paid. And it's always the case with the government. So for larger companies, that create pressure. But for a small business, it can threaten its survival. You know, you can't wait for months and months waiting for payments. That you will go for 3 or 4 months without actually people paid. Eh? So from the private sector's point of view, this debate isn't just about, it's not just about who wins government tenders. All right? It's about whether government procurement is helping to build a stronger local economy. Is the government procurement helping to build a stronger local economy, or making it, or possibly making it harder for local business actually to survive and grow if they have no access to, you know, to this contract? So that's what it's all about. It's not just about, oh, no, the government. No, it's about, are you hoping, are this government procurement helping building a stronger local economy, or making it harder for local business actually to survive and grow? That's the question. So what do you think? But let's also look at the government side, okay? Now, gotta be fair, all right? And there are also good reasons why the government actually doing what it's doing. We also need to hear the government side, all right? So every story has two sides, and this one is not different at all. Now, take the decision to move social grant payment to NAMPOST, for example, okay? The government's argument is based on cost and efficiency. Officials say the change will save taxpayer around 58 million while making use of NAMPOST nationwide network of branches and mobile teams. So now the view is simple. If a state-owned company already has the infrastructure to do the job, why should government actually pay a private company to provide the same service? So that's actually the logic of the government, okay? So in terms of that's the argument, that's government argument in terms of social grant payment to NAMPOST. And the same thinking applies in the health sector. Okay? So President Netumbo, Nandi Ndaitwah, and the Ministry of Health have made it clear that they want to reduce unnecessary middlemen, particularly in the procurement of medicines. So the concern is that multiple intermediaries can drive up prices through repeated markup, you know, costing taxpayer more than they should actually. So from the government point of view, cutting out unnecessary layers, it's about getting better value to public money and making sure essential medicine reach people more efficiently. That's the government argument. But whether they're doing it right or whether they have now the capacity or the system to do that, that's another question. But you understand the argument. Now, so there's also now this whole school feeding program, okay? And the Minister of Education has pushed back against claim that the program has already been handed to Namibian Training Authority. Now, officials say no official decision has been made and that consultation are still underway with several possible service providers, including now public institution. So in other words, they say the process is not over and no outcome has been confirmed. Now, the presidency has also responded cautiously on this. At the time, I think the president spokesperson said he has not yet seen the correspondence sent by members of the business community. So that suggests the concern raised by local business may not yet have been reached, you know, may not have reached the highest level of governance or government when those reports, I think, were published. Okay. So this debate isn't simply about government versus business. Okay. Don't look at, we shouldn't be looking at it. It's government versus businesses. On one side, government argues it has a duty to reduce waste, you know, save taxpayers' money, and also make a better use of public institutions. So one can understand that. Yeah? So the government has duty to reduce waste and also save taxpayers' money and make a better use of public institutions. So on the other side, the private sector argues that open competition creates jobs. You understand? Open competition creates jobs, encourage innovations, and help local business grow. So also valid. Okay? It's also valid. Now, the real question is whether Namibia can strike the right balance. Can we strike a right balance? Protecting public money while also ensuring that the private business continue to have a fair opportunity to compete. So I think that's where the problem is. Can Namibia strike the right balance? And this is actually where now the local businesses are actually are pushing, because they see the tendency, they see the patterns that the government seem, you know, to just handing over, you know, this contract without any competition, without any fair opportunity to compete by the private business. So, and they are concerning that we're going to lose experience, we're going to lose staff, we're going to lose, you know, people will lose job, because that's how, you know, the open competition actually create jobs. Yeah? It also encourage innovation, and also it help actually local business to grow. So you don't want to stay always a small business and small and medium enterprises all the times. And it's this access, this is opportunity that would actually help the local business actually to grow. So the real question is whether Namibia can strike the right balance. On one side, protecting the public money, and while also ensuring that the private business continue to have a fair opportunity now to compete. Now, so if we may be looking at this from if we look at it from a bigger perspective, bigger picture, because this is not just about who wins a catering contract or who pays out social grant. So I think it's about the kind of economy Namibia wants to build. I think you have to look at it that what kind of economy Namibia wants to build, you know. And if we're looking at it from that point of view, that affects every one of us, whether you own business or not. So if you're looking at it from that, what kind of economy Namibia wants to build? So, and by asking, and let's face it, okay? Let's face it, Namibia has a serious unemployment problem. We have unemployment problem, especially among young people. Now, official figure shows youth unemployment remained extremely, extremely high, making job creation one of the country's biggest challenge. So, now in that environment, so every government contract means more. It means more than just business. You understand? It can create jobs. It can develop skills. It can keep money moving through the local economy. So it means more. So now think about, let's put it this way, okay? Think about a local catering company that wins a school feeding contract. Now let's compare the two. So if you think about a local company, a local catering company, now let's say, for example, it wins the school feeding contract. Now that company hires what? They hires drivers, they hire cooks, people who are cooking, they hire supervisors, they hire cleaners. So they hire a number of people. Okay? So the other thing, that company buys vegetable from the local farmers, food from the wholesalers, fuel from the local suppliers, you know, and it pay taxes. So one contract, it doesn't just support one business. You can see it support an entire chain of economic activity. So you understand that, and now, as I said, put this in a context of what kind of economy that we want to build. Now compare that with the situation where the same contract goes to state-owned enterprise. Now, the services may still be delivered. Okay, I'm not saying that it wouldn't be. The service may be delivered. Government may even save money. For that matter, they may even save money. But the way that money moves through the economy can be very different. It can be very different. State-owned enterprises often follow different procurement rules, you know, have a different employment structures, and some private sectors group have alleged may, as they said, may subcontract parts of the work to other companies, you see? So, and those allegations have been made publicly. They have made public, although government has not accepted them as a general practice, but it has been made publicly. So then there is another question. Okay? So as you can see, before I go to that one, as you can see, you know, one, we have to think this very much, much deeper. Eh? We have to think this much, much, much deeper. So, and then there's another question that it doesn't get enough attention. Okay? So when we talk about this, so which is actually capacity. Eh? Now, when does this state-owned, okay, let me put it this way. Every time a private company loses a major contract, it risks losing experienced staff. You understand? So specialized system. So now think of the Apupa, for example. First of all, you lose experienced staff in providing the service. You have a specialized system that they were using, and you have years of knowledge. So you're losing that. So when you lose that job, where do these people go? Sometimes they lose job, they lose their job. Maybe they may be taken up by public institution. But in most cases, they aren't. So a company that once managed grant payment may no longer have that expertise. You understand? And construction firm that misses out, let's say, for example, on a large public project, may struggle to keep the skilled workers and invest in a new equipment. Why would they? Because they don't have job. Yeah? So then, if that continues over time, think about that now, that if that continues over time, the private sector becomes weaker. Yeah? Think, the private sector becomes weaker, and rebuilding those businesses and even maybe skills and experience can take years. So now, and this is not an argument against state-owned enterprises, okay? It's not about This is not an argument against state and state-owned enterprises. Strong public institutions are important. You know, we have to understand that if we have strong public institutions, they play a vital role in delivering essential services and supporting national development. So we need strong public institutions. So the real question is whether Namibia has found, as I said earlier on, the right balance. Okay? How do we make sure taxpayers get value for money while also giving private business a fair chance to compete, to grow, to create jobs, and invest in the country's future? That is the question. That is really what this debate is about. Yeah? So it's not simply who wins today's contract. It is what kind of economy Namibia wants to have, maybe 10 or 20 years from now. So that's what we have to be very careful of. All right? So now, before you come through and have your maybe your say, now, I think we reached that part. This is the part that really matters most. Because now, the purpose of this show is it's not to tell you what to think, okay? It's to give you the facts, and ask the questions and let you decide yourself, okay? Now, given you what we have talked about, I want you to think through certain questions that I have. Some here are questions we should all be asking and we're also thinking about with this pattern that we see, okay? First, the question is, what comes to your mind, the first thing that comes to your mind, is the government following the law? Eh? Is the government following the law? So Namibia's Public Procurement Act exists to make sure public money is spent fairly, transparently, and competitively. So now the law also allows exemption in certain situations. We know that, but those exemptions must follow specific legal procedures. So if state-owned enterprises are receiving contracts without an open tender, so are those decisions being made under lawful exemptions? If they are, who approves them and why? We just have that 1 billion, whatever, 1 billion, you know, tender for medicines that has been, you know, halted by which committee, you know. So, because it hasn't gone through Public Procurement Act, it hasn't gone through Public Procurement Board. Yeah? So, those are legitimate questions. There are law, as I said, there are law also allowing exemptions, emergency, certain situations. But in those there's also corruption that actually come through that, those exceptions, through those emergency things. So now the question is, are those exemptions, the thing is that they must follow specific legal procedures. So, and if they are, who approves them and why? Yeah? Now, the second question is the saving. Are the saving as big as they claim to be? Now, the government say moving social grant payment to NAMPOS will save around 58 million, okay? If that's true, taxpayers should welcome it. We should actually welcome that. Now, but it's also fair to ask a follow-up question. Think about this. What did it cost? First of all, you have to think in terms of what did it cost to make the change? Eh? Were there transition costs? Or you just, that nothing that you do at all? There was a transition course where the new systems needed. Has any independently checked whether the promised saving are actually being achieved? Was there anybody independently check whether the promised savings are actually being achieved? And these are reasonable questions, whether public money is involved. Whenever public money is involved, these are the things that we should be finding out. The MPs of this world, these are the things that they should be finding out. So what happened to people whose job depend on those, on this contract? When a private company, say, for example, loses a major government contract, it can mean fewer jobs, less income for families because people are losing their jobs, and less business for suppliers. Yeah? So, this is the thing. Is the government measuring that impact? And if jobs are lost in the private sector while state-owned enterprise expand, what is the overall effect on unemployment? Because saving money is important, but so is creating jobs. You understand? So creating jobs is also very important. I think that's what I'm looking, kind of what the overall effect on employment when we're trying to do this. So now the other thing is also, do state-owned enterprises have the capacity to deliver? That's a very big question. Do they have the capacity? Managing a multi-billion-dollar medical aid scheme or paying grant to hundreds of thousands of people requires a strong system. And also it requires experienced and effective oversight. Do state-owned enterprises have the capacity to deliver those things? We start to find out already. So in the Ministry of Health. So if those institutions have the capacity, that's good news. It is honestly good news if they have the capacity. But if they don't, and the service suffers, who carries the burden? Who carries the burden? It won't be the official who signed the papers. It won't be them who actually signed the paperwork. It will be the ordinary Namibians who rely on those services every day. They are the ones who are going to suffer. So, and finally, what is the long-term goal? Is this mainly about making government more efficient, or is it about giving the state a bigger role in the economy? So there is a balance to strike. We need to strike a balance somewhere, somehow. So the government has a responsibility to spend public money wisely, all the same time, and at the same time, you know, Namibia also need a strong and competitive private sector to create jobs, to drive innovation, you know, to invest in the country's future. So that's the balance that we actually need to strike. In fact, I think the procurement, the Public Procurement Act itself recognizes a broader economic goals. So including now promoting Namibian businesses and supporting small and medium enterprises through public procurement. Yeah? It recognized that. It recognized that broader economic goal to support small and medium enterprises through public procurement. So perhaps the bigger question of all is this, you know? So the bigger question is that, can Namibia save taxpayers' money while still giving local business a fair opportunity to compete? That's the question at the heart of this debate, and one that deserves an open, honest conversation. All right? So can Namibia save taxpayers' money while still giving local business a fair opportunity to compete. So, what is your take? What is your take? So, we're coming to you live from the Ondangwe studio, 08333-66091. 08333-66091. So, you may come through and have your say.
Omutiha kutekirwa kaguna I matina omjo chikao shafasa na nana longe shifa ya ishiwike moshiwana iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene anage shifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika zeitha nina omayakuro nirandito mwa yoe yonge shifa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House ngwe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nina kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu Moambo, dengera selma, konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu, heari hamano tano, oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
All right, a very good morning to you. If you're just joining us, our time is just 4 minutes past the hour of nine. And if you're just tuning in, this is Unpacking the Day on your favorite station, Eagle FM. So, all right, let's bring it all together, okay? Put together what we talked about this morning, okay? What you can take away from this morning's discussions, from this morning's conversation. So, now first, there is a clear trend of government contract moving away from private companies towards state-owned enterprises. So we have seen this in areas like schools feeding, social grant, we're giving those examples, medical aid, construction, and medical procurement. So we're seeing that there is a movement, there's a trend, okay? There's actually a trend of government contract moving away from private companies. Now, these are not small contracts, as you can see. These are not really small contracts. They involve billions of Namibian dollar in public spending. And that makes the decision important. Okay? That's make that decision very, very, very important. So, and the government says the goal is to save taxpayers' money and reduce waste. All right? In some cases, such as they move to a new social grant payment system. Government say the changes have already produced significant saving. So in the health sector, effort to cut out unnecessary middlemen are also aimed at lowering costs. So those are reasonable arguments and they deserve to be considered fairly. Okay. Or the overall goal of the government, you can see that it is reasonable. So those are reasonable arguments. Whether now the government can effectively be able to implement what they want to implement, that's another debate. Okay? And that's another question. So third, the private sector now sees it differently. They see this differently. Business argue that some of these contracts are being moved without fair competition. Okay? That job are being lost. So in terms of that, that's a job that are being lost and that local companies are being pushed aside. So they also claim that some state-owned enterprises are simply passing the work on to foreign companies instead of doing it themselves. And that's something that is happening. So, and these are serious claims. These are serious claims, and they deserve proper investigation before any conclusion are reached. All right. So the other thing, this debate is really about, I think, from what I'm thinking is that this is about the kind of economy Namibia wants to build. So every time the government awards a major contract, it is making a choice about who gets the opportunity to grow. So when you see the argument, it's about who gets the opportunity to grow, who create jobs, who benefit from public money. So in a country facing high unemployment, those choices affect all of us. It does affect all of us. And finally, this story is far from over. It's not over yet, okay? The debate over school feeding is still unfolding. The business community is making its voice heard, and many important questions remain unanswered. So this whole debate of over school feeding is still unfolding. So it's not over yet. So, well, stay informed and stay engaged, you know, and keep asking questions. That's what we need to do. So, because in a democracy, people, in a democracy, the final say, it does not belong to the government or to business. Actually, it belongs to you, the public. Yeah? It belongs to you. All right. A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Big Mike.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, and how are you this morning?
Fine.
Yeah.
I think I have seen some big figures.
Yeah.
Money being saved from the third party.
Mm.
And the only issue now that I have, you are saying that some of these tenders, they get to the state-owned enterprise.
Yeah.
And then the state-owned enterprise, again, contract foreign companies.
Yeah.
Which is also not a big problem, except if it's done at the expense of our local company.
Is it a big problem or is not a big problem? I didn't hear you well.
I'm saying that if the state-owned enterprise gets the tender from the government, then they contract.
And they subcontract it to the foreign company.
At the expense of a local company.
Yeah.
That's the only way I have a problem.
Oh, okay, except
where maybe you say that, yes, we do not have the machineries.
Yeah.
We do not have the skill. I don't know the type of skill that they always look at.
Mm.
But still, you can still subcontract them. And with the involvement of our local company as well.
Yeah.
So the work that can be done by our local company.
Yeah, I think that one of the issues that they are raising is that they are just given little piece instead of a major company, so that they grow to bigger institution. Otherwise, they remain these small and medium enterprises rather than grow into bigger companies. Yeah.
That's what they are saying. They are always saying that our companies are not growing.
Yeah.
Our local companies, entrepreneurs and all these things, they are not growing.
Yeah.
So we want them to grow.
But they are also not innocent anyway. They are also not innocent. There are also companies that has given opportunities and mess up things.
So I think it's important that we grow our local companies, we capacitate them, where we think that, yes, they cannot do this major job, that is an opportunity for us to give them the skills that they can really, that they can be functional.
Yeah.
So, but otherwise, to cut the cost and the money, the figure that have been seen through the...
We can't hear you anymore.
Always,
okay.
The concern that I'm always hearing is that why the third party? Why the third party? You understand?
Yeah.
Now the third party is moved, is removed, is being removed. But then I understand the Naloba.
Yeah.
They are concerned because they were also concerned at that time. They were saying, no, why can't he, why is it that they are giving that during those green team, remember? The former Minister for Agriculture, when he was calling for tenders to people to company to come and take up some of these green schemes that were dormant. And then in Naloba also came, and I think they were even marching. But did they take up one of the green schemes to utilize them at the maximum? I haven't heard. I have not heard about that. But of course, they come out with their complaint and say, yes, we are here, local company. Can't they also become a formidable company that they can do some of those work?
Yeah, but sometimes you become a formidable company when you have constant access to these opportunities. And when they don't come your way, that's how you don't grow. Yeah, and that's one of the issues that they are raising. Yeah,
if the opportunity doesn't come in your way, it means that you have no capacity.
Yeah, yes. So
if you have the capacity and the opportunity is coming, and you know that you can organize yourself and you can really put yourself in a strong position to compete with those companies, then there shouldn't be any complaint because you have their capacity, you can access some of those. Tenders, and then why do you have to complain? Because you complain now, then the work has to be done, and you cannot do the work, then what?
Mm-hmm.
They have been complaining about this thing. The green scheme, they haven't taken up anyone. The other construction, they are still complaining. Are they not taking up anything? Do they have the capacity themselves to do the work, or do they not have the capacity? Then if they do not have the capacity, the people who have got the capacity, can they not do the work and serve the people?
Yeah, that's but that also goes for the state-owned enterprises. Do they have the capacity? So if they don't have the capacity, let the private sector that have the capacity to do the job. Yeah.
Usually, you know, the state-owned enterprise might not have those maybe construction companies, and they do whatever. But they have perhaps the management skills, the leadership skills, because they get money from the government. So now, if they, let's say, for example, they say state enterprise, maybe let's say road authority or whatever, those other ones, road contractors.
Yeah.
Like I think there's one of that nature. So those ones, they can also then now invite tenders, invite bids for their work to be done.
Yeah.
So not that they are going also to create up some other entity within that the same company to do the work. No, their budget that they got from the government, they can then say, okay, these are the activities that you are going to do and they have been budgeted for. They can call for the bids. So I don't think it's any problem. But they can as well look at our own local company to do the job.
Yeah.
I think it's in order.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, Mike, for opportunity.
All right. No, thanks for coming, Tria.
Good.
It's a Monday morning, the 29th of the month of June. So how are you? So maybe you're just actually joining us. 17 minutes past the hour of 9. So we're talking about... A very good morning to you.
Bom dia, família.
Bom dia, como está?
Aqui estamos bem, obrigado. Eu sou um bocado frio, mas estamos bem.
That's too much, man. It sounds like an insultation. It sounds like an insult.
No, I'm saying he's a bit vulgar, but are we okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I want to take my take on the your. I like the way you compare.
Yeah.
Your comparison is very, very, really, very good, because I'm not even happy. You know, I saw like in the newspapers like saying our town sector is declining because of APC. Those the comparison also you need to look to say, if why the our tourism sector is going down,
yeah,
and who's been affected is the whole country,
yeah,
because one tourist employing like 20 or 50 people going to sleep in the hotel, going to use our foil, we're going to buy whatever. So you know everybody's getting benefit from one tourist.
Mm-hmm.
But now, if one tourist has been attacked, so that this individual who attacked one tourist, so meaning now, this guy is sending a picture which I will decline or will jeopardize 200 Namibians.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. So those are the comparison you can give. You can also give even to say, like, you know, just imagine, we are removed from green the base, whatever this system. Then list of country which are investor can come and invest in your country. No, imagine more.
Yeah.
If one person been robbed his money, this e-wallet, whatever. You know the message these things will go give to the other country, say Namibia is not safe country to save money. So one individual is putting like the whole Namibians in poverty.
Yeah.
I like the comparison. Okay, let's go to your point. I think the competition is needed here.
Mm.
Yeah. Locally, internationally is needed.
Yeah.
We already foresee most of our things. We are not doing well because of knowledge. We are behind because of knowing of our own, getting knowledge of capitalists. The money is, we are too behind. Now, for us to be up to date, we need to collaborate with the international companies who are doing well, so we can copy from them.
Yeah.
We are already having our green scheme in this big fields. Nothing since 1995, they're up to date. Is nothing has been done there. Why? Because we chase those who know, and we wanted to take over, but we don't understand the system. We have our workers are complaining to say, before they used to get plus minus, used to have a plus minus like 6,000. But
yeah,
now, because the black community took over, not black community, but let me say, who don't understand the system, took over. They are now with the salary. Sometimes they don't pay. Sometimes they jump start. They start them some months. They don't have their salary. And so, even though their salary is too small for them to send their kid to school. So now, really here, we need a competition. We need a collaboration of everybody, locally, internationally. Where we don't understand, we can learn from international companies who are doing well, like, you know? So I have to be up to date, my brother.
Yeah, but now, sometimes it's also the conditions that has been, you know, how would I put it, the agreement that are there. When you have foreign companies, they should not just come and work and take, you know, and take the money and leave. First of all, they should actually then teach the skills, so that next time you don't call the international anymore. So you have people that are skilled in that area. So the other thing is also leave the technology and other things, so that we next time we do the work our own, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is that how long we have been doing the same thing over and over, you know, where we just bring in, you know, foreign companies, do the work, but then take their, you know, and then they go with their skills and their expertise.
You know, I'm just I, I just my thinking, eh? Yeah. In your point, there is a really good point. You just wake me up. You know, the problem here, when a company is coming to the country and we are not benefiting from their knowledge and their system, is because of if we have a political which are not really united, this is the problem. Mm. So if you have a political party who's the ruling party, and there's no communication, there's no teamwork, there's no a united system there. Mm. My brother, forget for you to get something from these people. They are coming every day in the country. But the problem here, our political party need to sit and create a system which everybody understand to say, okay, this way we want to go. Because after all, my brother, you can be in a DDA, you can be in SWAPO, you can be whatever. But what's your ID say? Nationality in Namibia. We can't forget about that. Your nationality, you're Namibian. So let us fight for Namibian. So now, if our political party, there's no unit there, my brother, the money is coming to the country, but it's going to the loophole because there's no united thing. There's no, unity in the party. So,
but our party you can be also united in corruption.
That's the problem, you know. Yeah. Now, why you have issue in the party? The man is going somewhere else. Why are you debating about the land issue, the agriculture issue, the water issue, the unpaid people? The man is going somewhere else. Money is coming every day. But where is the man going?
Yeah.
The same with these people. When they come to our country, and if we are really united, brother, there's no way you're gonna suffer. Because you know, things are done on the right direction. So money is coming, but the man is going where?
Yeah, it's not only united, it's just that you need a system that work. You need system, you need institutions, you know, that, yeah. And you need people that the oversight of whatever, you know, whatever need to be done, it has to be strictly implemented, you know, because the problem we have is its implementation and oversight of projects. You know, so that's where we sometimes, you know, not do what we're supposed to do. Yeah.
Yes, but just imagine now, we are lacking in agriculture. We are lacking in housing. We are lacking in job creation. But we have ambassador in our country who come from those countries which are things have been better than ours. So what's the problem? If this guy is here, and we can learn from them. We can go to their country, and this guy also can contribute, or even our ambassador in other countries where things have been done well. What they are doing there? So now, they may do well, but if the party is not well, in Namibia, look at Monihuna. Thank you, my brother.
All right, man. Thank you for coming through. Yeah?
All right.
All right. It's a Monday morning, the 29th of June. So our time, it's 26 minutes past the hour of 9. We go until 10 o'clock, where we will be handing over. I will be handing over to the Wintu colleague, to Tate France, who will be coming with Kuthamosha. Kufamosha at around 10 o'clock. So, all right. So we can go to the second, you know, to the second item of the show. It's Namibia's economy. It's the report from the Statistic Agency. Namibian Statistic Agency has released its latest figure on the size of our economy. When you look at the first glance, when you look at that, so the news looks encouraging, okay? The news looks encouraging, but once you dig a little deeper, which we normally do here, so the story becomes much more interesting. So, and in some way, more concerning as well. Okay. So now here's the headline. The Namibia's economy was worth 70.9 billion during the first three months of 2026, from January to March. So our economy was worth 70.9 billion. Now, during the same period last year, it stood at 66.2 billion. Okay, that means the economy grew by 4.7 billion. Okay, we grew by 4.7. So, yeah, on the surface, that sounds like a solid progress, isn't it? Okay, it looks like, okay, so we made, we progressed 4.7 billion. Okay, that's a progress. Now, but before we celebrate, okay, before we celebrate, there is something important we need to understand, okay? And I'm gonna explain it to you. Now, that 70.9 billion is what the economists call the, they call it the economy's current value, okay? So that 70.9 billion is what the economists call the economy's current value or its face value, okay? Now, it doesn't take into account the prices that have gone up. Okay, we're gonna come back to that. Okay. A very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, that's the big mic.
Yes, man, how are you?
I'm all right. Morning, how are you?
We're okay. So how was your weekend?
Yes, Monday.
It's a Monday after the Bafanas have,
Oh, exist. And the Wallace did they?
They fought their heart out.
They did.
The only thing that betrayed them is their forward. You know, they didn't
exactly.
have the firepower.
Scoring, yes,
yeah. Yes. They didn't have a firepower to really make a difference. But the defense, they worked hard.
I'm telling you, the ball not to end the what?
Just hold on quickly.
Comiede mulongwa na bivari moshimarifu. Itororera ondengu jima yu ngura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashe esho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishu hina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye uha kainina itako na wina rishangita jinon.
All right, welcome back. Yeah, so...
I know the Bafana, at least they... Whatever they... At least they achieve. It's better.
Yeah,
not to go out of them. I think the whole country of Africa, they need to really, they deserve respect, except the Tunisian.
Yeah,
they let us down. Yeah. Yeah.
But I mean, it's understandable. Nine out of ten.
Yeah.
Qualified to the 32%. I mean, to the 32
round.
Round. No, that it hasn't happened.
Yeah,
it hasn't happened. You know, this was a historic, I think.
Exactly. And it's telling that, you know, our football is moving somewhere.
Yeah, that is how
you can see that, yes,
yeah,
we are getting there.
But you remember the other stories that I covered, that much of those, let's say, for example, if you take DRC, and
they are all
from...
born somewhere.
And they are all born from somewhere. Oh, Cap of Verde, for example, you know, it's doing very well, but those are not local. Those are not local boys.
There are
a few that are local boys, but, you know, majority of them are playing, actually, in France or Belgium or wherever, you know.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, so...
Yeah,
we have another team that may win. Actually, we have another African team that may win the World Cup, which is France, which is an African team.
Yeah, exactly. Half land is ours. Those are our boys. Yeah. But anyway, to your topic.
Yeah.
My friend, the one to tell me that Naloba, they are crying crocodile eye because of the removal of the what? They are tendering.
So there is a pattern. They're crying because they see that there's a pattern where the government actually handing over, you know, this major contract to state-owned enterprise without competition. Yeah.
Yeah, but one thing, Mike, I'm not saying anything like a negative toward Naloba, but I'm just looking at them.
Yeah.
They established all, even more than 10 years, those guys. They've been there.
Mm.
And the much of them, they are kind of like, you know, these tick fly which are eating the cattle, blood suckers.
Yeah.
Seriously, they can be against me or whatever, but seriously, is what most of them they are doing. I'm telling you, they wait, they are tendering more than, that's why you see them even signing up with government for 25 years. What 10 years? Just imagine how what kind of fair competition if you are signing up for 10 years.
Yeah.
That's why in their group, even if you go to them now, then you look how many members of Nalobas. Most of them you never see a company which then started for 4 years ago or 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah. There are people who've been there for 25 years even, then everything out of the government. But they are not coming up with their own thing to do something. Apart from those one who are only having retailers, we understand that one. At least they are doing something else.
Yeah.
Or those one who are involved also in the mining. Yes, that's how we wanted them also to start. At least start small, then we get somewhere. We know that at least there's a progress.
Yeah.
But much of them, they are waiting government tenders. And that's why they make it so difficult for the upcoming entrepreneur. Because these guys, they are all over. If you go there, if you go to Gatima Muliro now, you see this is a guy who's doing a tender in your Congo, it's the same. You come to Windhoek, it's the same guy.
Yeah.
You go to Ketimans, it's the same guy. And now you are complaining the government to take over. I think it's a high, last time I think we talked about this, that no, sometimes we have government, but we are sidelining them like the way they did with Namco and oil. That is,
yeah,
and the government also they are not really playing a fair card, yeah.
Yeah,
because the other side, then you are doing this, the other side you are doing this. Because if you remember the issue with Namco, and now you see they even they are including NTA to take over. The host, feeding program and the hostel and whatever you call it. But sometimes I think it's necessary. Like now, if you look at the road contract, what, RCC? RCC was given a chance to build all the what? I think in the 14 leading stadiums.
Yeah.
But the problem I think they don't have the capacity.
The thing is this. They are given this contract, but then they subcontract, you know, other companies as well.
Where is corruption going to? Yeah, it's where you say room of corruption.
Yeah, so now
going to take place
exactly. So the costing. I mean, if you saying now, if you telling me that now you are going to save. If the reason is that okay, the government will save money and also this kind of. But then the one you have given a contract or is going to subcontract again, so the value of whatever that's going to be doing, it definitely goes down slowly by slowly, you know.
Yeah.
So yeah, because
I don't think it's about
saving. I'm not saying that's the case. Last time we hear they contracted, you know, the Emirates or something like that to do the constructions. You know,
imagine.
The RCC are not the one doing it. So they actually ask another company to do that.
For me, that is wrong. Because remember one thing, that NTA, they are already having people who can be called back, like the trainees who have been absent, who have been already succeeded. But they are, I'm telling you, and it is a thing which I'm always against with our government, what they are doing. So they, those people who have been trained, but now they become a shopkeepers. They, some of them, they are even enrolling now in selling kapanas.
But the question here is, why can't just Emirates? Why can't just Emirates, you know, get the tender?
That's the thing.
Why can't just Emirates get the tender? And now they are getting instead of giving it to road contract, then they are subcontracting. What is that road contract now? What is their role now in this?
It's become one of the ones.
Actually, Emirates is doing the work. Why would it just Emirates get the work?
From not to do, to get involved in road contract. It's what I'm saying, the room of corruption to be there, because you never know even that now road contract also starting picking. Not even tendering, but speaking like, okay, I know Big Mike is my friend.
Of course, it's also looking, you know, who are the beast, who are the business that I actually support the political parties, you know?
Exactly. That's what I'm telling you, which sometimes we are trying to do things different, but the way we are doing it is that we are not changing anything. Look, we talk about it, they don't want the middlemen in the roster. And if you look what is happening now, it's even more worse than the middlemen. People don't have medicine. They are trying to give it, come out to go and procure without even board involvement. And this is what is even make some, if you go back and then look at what oil is happening in oil. Some board members, they resign, but up to now, we don't know why they resign it for. And now what we heard, people are getting some solar energy there, some are getting a petrol license this side, but no, it was not even advertised. That there's something going on like this. Also, everybody who's supplying oil can come on board. You see? Handpick. And this is what I'm saying is a problem sometimes with the way we are doing this. And sometimes this is going to lead us somewhere else, which we don't want to go.
Yeah, but the thing is this, you're only going to find yourself in trouble some years later, you know.
Exactly.
You ignore what is happening now.
And later.
You ignore what is happening now by probably trusting into a certain institution or whatever. And then you realize later, you know, let's say, for example, you take RCC or whatever other institution, state-owned enterprises that is taken. So you put your trust in them, but you realize that later on, after 5 years, it was not able to actually implement what you wanted. What do you do? Nothing.
Nothing at all.
It's so now much money has been wasted, and there's nothing to show off.
Look, even now we are talking about ICC. Why they cannot even recruit themselves for what the training which I'm talking about? Yeah. Going with VTC to VTC. Taking those people, doing the job for them, pay them. Why should you go for, if you know that now you are given a tender, now you are subcontracting?
Yeah. Now, the other thing is, if you talk to the people that are in the Ministry of Health, they tell you seriously, it's just certain things that it doesn't appear in newspapers all the time. So there are no medicines.
I'm telling you, people, they've been complaining about it.
It has get worse. Like now, even this 1 billion thing has been held, and hospitals don't have medicines.
No medicine. People are dying.
And that's why
people who are having heart problems, they are dying. People who are having contraception, and even you are talking about the contraceptive. There's nothing even there. You talk about the condom. There's nothing.
This is time also to judge actually the person who is in charge, you know.
It's what I'm saying. We do things, we think we are doing it right, but at the end of the day, it's going to bite us. And you cut, sometimes you are cutting your foot of that tree which was that branch you are standing on. Because the way we are looking at things which are happening, and you see people are quiet, the person who is inside is even quiet. And it's, we are saying there's no room for error. It cannot be a business as usual. But now, that person is quiet. And there's no medicine. Sometimes we can play around with people's life. But serious, as a dumb timber, health and education.
Yeah.
And it's what is the most resource, so what is happening in Namibia. My friend, you go to school now, then you see how the other parents are lining up, my friend. They're sleeping this cold weather for just for application for grade one or grade or what? Primary school. You talk about even grade eight, it's even worse.
Yeah.
But the money for people who are allocating money for entertainment, well, you are not able to build school, but how many teachers are there working for shop right now or working for model pick and pay? Yeah?
Yeah.
Now you are here saying you cannot be business as usual, but you are not doing anything. It's what I'm saying. Sometimes, people will come up with a good thought, maybe. Then this guy who have been in the system of corruption, they start doing things so you can also not achieve what you want.
Yeah.
Because
when you say there was no business as usual, so definitely there are people like the Minister of Health, seriously, need to go.
I'm telling you, changes need to be done.
Changes need to come.
We cannot continue that way.
Seriously. We can't go this way. Yeah?
Not at all.
Yeah.
But she looks like she's quiet about it. And the rumors heard it that, you know, some of this are, you know, the rumors is what is going on around.
Yeah.
And please, sometimes I think, when you are having officers, that one, sometimes you have to listen to your people in the ground. Not to the people who are coming to tell you, come as what they call this A-team or whatever this
the task
government, the task what they call, they come themselves, this government, what something, advisory, what. But what are they advising for the president, seriously?
Exactly.
If you are talking about now, we have the West, which is supposed to be the emergency to procure those. Sometimes I think that 1 billion which they've been talking about.
I mean, why do you need advisors and you have ministers? Your ministers are taking all sectors that you want to be covered.
To be governed. That's the thing.
So
why we don't even call them out like, you know?
Your advisors, you know?
Like this time now, we have a problem with the Minister of Health. Everybody's complaining about it. Did she even call that minister to come on board to explain to her? Nothing. But we see the people are getting fired like, and up to now, we don't know what for. Like a Minister of Mine and Energy was just fired without an explanation given to us. You see, sometimes I think.
Yeah, well, that's the way they said that's in the power of the president. If he hire without telling you why he's hiring somebody, so he has the power to fire without telling you.
No. But sometimes we need to know.
Yeah.
What is really a transparency with that person to be fired?
Yeah.
Yeah, because we cannot just continue the way we are complaining here, but nobody is listening to our complaint. And later on, when they need us at the election, is where they come to complain to. I mean, they started telling us different story again with liars.
Kwanyama came out.
you are looking out to these things are happening in your country,
You know what you said? I said your Kwanyama just came out now. You know what you said?
Yeah.
When they need us at the election.
Oh my goodness. I didn't mean that so, word.
When they need us at the election.
But serious, Mike, I think it's not too bad when the government, the parasites are taking over, but it's good if they are having capacity.
Yeah.
And they are having competent people who are there. We cannot continue with those people who've been there. That's why those protesters said they never grow because they have been with people are not competent.
But you also have, to understand what the government is complaining in terms of, I mean, they ask the private sector to be involved. Because the private sector are the ones that create jobs, that the ones that are being more innovative, they want to create the future, you know. So,
which is true.
And if you're not giving this, if you're not creating this competition, if you're not allowing these opportunities for them to compete, they're competent enough, everybody should just compete for the same thing, you know.
Exactly.
And the best men the best
win.
Win, yeah, exactly. You know.
That's how it's supposed to be. That and that's the democracy we're talking about.
Field. Have a level playing field, and everybody compete.
And Mike, when you are talking about that, is a fair play what you are talking about.
Yeah.
When you're having people are competing each other, but if you are sidelining other people, that is not fair. Then there's no fair competition at all.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, let me, Mike, give other people to come in.
All right. No, thanks for coming through.
All right.
Yeah, so, sometimes the Kwanyama comes out, yeah. So, all right. 08333-66091, 08333-66091. Yeah, so if you wanna, still have, something to say on our first stories. All right, I was just getting into our second story. What is our time? Still 10 minutes. So the 70.9 billion, I was saying that, I was trying to explain that we shouldn't celebrate yet. We shouldn't celebrate that growth, in the way we think it is. So, as I said, that's what the economists call the economic current value. It normally doesn't take into account the prices that have gone up, you know. So food costs, now the food costs more, fuel costs more, rent costs more, almost everything costs more than it did a year ago, okay? So once inflation is taken into account, once you take the inflation into account, the economy actually grew by 2%. Okay? It grew by 2%. And think of it this. I want you to think it in this way. Think of it in this way. Imagine your employer gives you a salary increase. Oh, that would be nice. So your employer gives you a salary increase, but the price of groceries, transport, electricity goes up. So the salaries, I mean the prices of groceries, transport, and electricity goes up by almost the same amount. You understand? So on paper you are earning more, but in reality you hardly any better off. You really hasn't moved. Okay? So and that's what is happening with the economy. Okay? So that is what happening with our economy. And there is another important point. The 2% growth is actually slower than what we saw a year ago. So in the first quarter of 2025, the economy grew by 2.8% in real terms. Now, so yes, the economy is still growing, but it is growing more slowly than before. Because it was growing 2.8, this is 2%. So it is actually growing more slowly than before. So that's the part that often gets lost behind the headline numbers, you know? So the economy is getting bigger, but it's losing momentum. Okay? You understand? It's getting bigger, but it's losing momentum. And momentum matters in economy. So when growth is slow, business become more, you know, they become more cautious. You know, they become more cautious about investing and hiring because you never know what happens. So you can't invest your money because if it's when the economy grows slowly, you become a little bit cautious because you don't know what's going to happen. Is it continue to be slow or it's going to pick up? So that becomes very important because they become the investment, they become cautious about their investment, they become cautious about creating jobs because you don't know what's going to happen. So because now, because of that, because of the slow growth of economy, fewer jobs are created, okay? So opportunity become harder to find. And many households continue actually to feel financial pressure, even when the official statistics suggest the economy is expanding. So you understand? So, and now the head of the statistic agency called this a tale of two halves. He called this a tale of two halves, and that is actually a very fair description because what we are seeing is an economy that is not moving, that is not moving in one direction. Yeah? It's not moving in one direction. Some part are doing well, while others are clearly under pressure. Okay? So, now, so one side, you have, we're talking about that, this is an economy that is actually moving all over. Okay? It's not moving in one direction. You have parts that are doing well, and you have other parts that are clearly under a lot of pressure. So, now, on one side, now you have the service sectors. So, the service sector, so this is where now most of the positive news is coming from the service sectors. And these are the businesses that don't produce physical good. Remember, the service sector, these are the businesses that don't produce physical good, but rather provide services. Things like shops, banks, hospitals, and schools, these are your service sectors. Now, overall, this sector grew by just over 5%. All right? So the retailer and the wholesaler trade, basically the shops that sell groceries, clothing, and everyday goods, perform especially strong, growing by more than 9%. And that's a very solid performance. Okay? That's a very, very, very solid performance. And then you have financial services, meaning your banks and your banks and your insurance companies. So also did well, okay, growing by around 7%. Okay, and then you have your service, your health services and education also recorded a steady growth at about 6% and 5% respectively. So in a simple terms, if you work in a retail, banking, healthcare, or education, your sector of the economy is generally holding up and even expanding, okay? But then we turn to the other side of the story, okay? And this is now where things get worrying. The primary sectors. Now, your primary sector, which includes now industries that extract raw material from the ground, actually your industry, actually that one actually has gone down. It shrank by nearly 6%. So the mining is the biggest concern here. The mining is the biggest concern. It fell by more than 12% in just one quarter. It fell by more than 12% in just one quarter. So, and that's not a small dip. You know, sometimes you can have that little dip or something. That's not a small dip. That's a sharp contraction. So, and the reason is very clear. We are producing less diamond and less gold. So now, think about what that means for Namibia. So, of course, diamond and gold are not just ordinary export. You know, they are among the country's most important resources. I mean, they are among the most important sources of foreign income. Eh? So when production drops in terms of diamond and gold, the impact spread far beyond mining companies. Eh? It's not just affecting mining company. It affects government revenue, through lower because of lower what is that? Because of producing less diamond, then that would actually affect also the government revenue through lower taxes and loyalties and royalties. So it affects suppliers who provide equipment, who provide fuel, who provide food to the mining operations. So it affects entire community that depend on mining activity for jobs and business. So when mining drops by 12%, when mining drops by 12%, it's not just a sector slowing down. It's a signal that that part of the wider economy are coming under pressure. So now, and that's why these two halves picture matters. I think it really matters because one side of the economy is growing, but the other side, especially mining, is pulling in the opposite direction. And that imbalances carries a real risk for jobs. It carries a real risk for jobs. It carries a real risk for income for the government, and also carries a real risk for overall stability, economic stability. So and what's happening with the manufacturing? Now let's talk about manufacturing, because it is not just mining that is under pressure. Manufacturing, the factories that produce things like food, drinks, cement, and other building materials also dropped by 6%, nearly by 6%. Okay? So here's what that means. Okay? Here is what that means in simple terms. Two part of the economy that actually make physical good. We're talking about manufacturing and talking about manufacturing and mining, are both actually shrinking. Yeah? They are both shrinking. And these are the sectors that put, you know, people to work in factories, production lines, you know, and, you know, hands-on industrial job, you know. So this is the kind of sectors that do that. So at the same time, the service sector that we talked earlier, the shops, the banks, the hospital, the schools, are the ones that are still growing. Eh? And that tells us something important about the direction of our economy. Okay? So something very important about the direction of the economy. So it suggests that Namibia is becoming more a buying and selling economy. And this is something that we should worry about. This is really a worrying concern. So what does that show us? Just from this data. So it suggests that Namibia is becoming more a buying and selling economy and less of making and producing economy. So from this data, I think now that shift might not sound dramatic at first, but it has a long-term consequences. Because economy that rely heavily on services, we're talking about, you know, shops, banks, you know, economy that rely heavily on services but lose their production base, often struggle to create stable, now well-paying job, for example, for large number of people. It struggles to do that. So you can build a strong middle class, you know, with your service sector, your middle class on retail jobs and office service alone. Eh? You need factor. You can't build a strong middle class on a retail jobs and office service alone. You need factories. You need production line. You need industry that transform raw material into finished goods for local use and also for export. So without that, the economy becomes more vulnerable. It becomes less diversified, something that we cry all the time, more dependent on import and external, and also an external shocks. So while the service sector is holding up the numbers right now, I think the weakening of manufacturing raises a deeper question. What kind of economy are we building for the future? That's for you to answer and think about. All right. So our time is 3 minutes past the hour of 10. That means we have come to an end of unpacking the day. So I'm going to hand you over to capable hands of Kamadigoga Pofi or Tate France. Mbarangaja coming up with Kufamosha. So let's do this tomorrow again at the same time here on your favorite station, your 24/7 radio, your talk radio stations, Eagle FM. So from me, have a great day and have a great productive week. Let's have this. Let's meet again tomorrow morning. All right. Goodbye.